Welcome to Dishing Heat with Wolfie and Big Shot Song. I'm your host, Nathan Wolf.
And I'm your co-host, Max Song.
It's currently October 31st at 3 o'clock Mountain Time, and it is Halloween, so we got a special Halloween episode. But before we start, just want to give a huge shout-out to Emil, who designed our new logo. You can check it out. Should be on the cover of the podcast and also at our Instagram, @dishing_heat. It looks awesome, and we're really excited to use that moving forward. But to get into today's episode, the topics, we're going a little trick-or-treat action for Halloween. We're going trick is that if that player is not legit, or treat if that player is legit. So treat is a player, someone who's doing well that we think is legit, and trick is a fraud, someone who is not going to sustain that or anything necessarily near that, depending on our opinion of this team or player. So to start, we're going with the 5-1 Chicago Bulls. Max, are they a trick or a treat?
I have the Chicago Bulls as a treat. So, to be fair, the teams that they've beat, like Pistons, Pelicans, Raptors, they're all pretty bad. But just when you watch them, like the eye test, Lonzo, LaVine, and DeRozan, their chemistry is already on point. And obviously, you have to mention Caruso. They're the first in defensive rating right now, which is really impressive. And they're 5-1 when Vucevic isn't even shooting well. So, with a semi-decent offense when Vucevic isn't even playing well and first in defense, I think they're legit.
I'm going to agree with you there. I think the Bulls are definitely a treat. Vucevic, like you said, he is struggling. He's simply just not playing good basketball. But it doesn't matter. Like, yes, he's only averaging 16 points per game, and it's under 40% efficiency. The guy is not where he needs to be. But he'll get there. And Caruso is playing absolutely awesome off the bench. He's getting big minutes, and he's deserving every single one of them. The guy is shooting like 50-50, 8 points per game, something like that. Also mentioned, I think he's on 3 steals per game. And that's through 6 games. That's huge. That's a huge reason why that defense is playing awesome. It is worth noting that Patrick Williams, I believe he broke his wrist.
Oh, yeah. He got a sprained wrist. Yeah, he's out for the rest of the season.
Right, which is definitely huge. But he's not the reason they were here. He was playing awesome, don't get me wrong. But I still think that this team, their only loss was to the Knicks by a full 1 point. So I'm going to go treat for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Patrick Williams is actually more important to the team than a lot of people realize, though. I think Patrick Williams really provides the four and their defensive stability. I think they'll be fine without him. They'll still be a good team. But really, if Patrick Williams were there, I would have more faith in them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree for sure. And especially with him being a young guy that can definitely improve throughout the course of the season, getting minutes on a good team, that's super helpful for young guys. But speaking of young guys, we're moving on to the Charlotte Hornets. They are 4-2. And Max, are they a trick or a treat?
I also have the Charlotte Hornets as a treat. So far, Miles Bridges is playing at an absolutely insane level. He's averaging 26 on 51-37 splits. LaMelo Ball, who's one of my favorite players in the league, he's averaging 17-6-6, albeit not that efficient on 39-40 splits. But yeah, I think the Charlotte Hornets just have a lot of good guys and a lot of good role players, and they just mesh very well together. I don't think they're going to be like 4-2 and at the top of the Eastern Conference, but I do believe that they'll make the playoffs.
I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets as a trick. I don't necessarily think they're going to be an awful team. They did beat the Nets, and to be fair, that was by 16 points. The Cavs have looked nice this season. They did beat them. Pacers and Magic, not so much. They lost that Heat game, and quite honestly, they made a run at the end there, but I did end up watching that game, and they did not look good for a large portion of that game. They also lost to the Celtics, who are not looking so hot this year. Listen, Airbnb has been awesome so far. 26-8-2-2 on 50-36 for Bridges, and you already mentioned LaMelo's stats. So for sure, they're playing nice, but that Bridges is going to cool down. Let's be honest here. Gordon Hayward is playing nice basketball. Don't get me wrong. And Oubre is playing all right, but I don't see this team sustaining this kind of production. They're going to be a playoff team in the East, I think, but they're not a team that we're that high on, at least this season, because I just believe Bridges will cool down.
Yeah, I think I'm higher on Bridges than you are. I don't think he'll sustain 51-37 splits, but I do think he'll average like 23 points a game this season, which is just a little bit below what he's averaging right now. Maybe on like 49-35 splits, and that's still really good for the team.
Bridges is actually shooting 51-62. Like, this guy he's killing it. He could have definitely been in our trick-or-treat discussion for players, but I just don't see there being a real argument to this guy being a true, like, keeping up. His best season ever was 13 points per game. And last season, he did shoot really nice efficiency. He was actually sneaky close to 50-40-90, only missing the free throw percentage. But I don't see the sustained production. And thus, I don't see the sustained production of the Charlotte Hornets as a true competitor to really anyone. But with that out of the way, let's go to another team that's been really surprising this season. The Washington Wizards, after trading Russell Westbrook, are 5-1. Are the Washington Wizards a trick or a treat?
This is going to be my first trick of the podcast. I think the Washington Wizards, like, even though Bradley Beal isn't playing that well, Montrezl Harrell has been playing at an absolutely insane clip. Dinwiddie has been popping off. KCP's been a great two-way defender. And even Kuzma, who's had some double dribble moments and, like, turnovers, and people like to make fun of him, even Kuzma's playing well by his standards. So I think basically everyone in the Washington Wizards, except for Bradley Beal, is way exceeding what they're normally going to play at. I think all of those players will cool down and they'll, as a team, cool down as well.
I also have the Washington Wizards as a trick. I love that they're playing well without Westbrook because I'm not a big Westbrook fan, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see that compared to the Lakers, who, what are the Lakers right now? I believe they're like 3-3. They're 3-3, yeah. So definitely interesting to see. They beat the Celtics twice, the Hawks, the Pacers, and the Raps. Not all awful teams. They did lose to the Nets, who admittedly are only 3-3, but they're the Nets. They traded Russell Westbrook for 19-10 for Montrezl Harrell on 62-20, and a nice little 15-12 on 42-32 for Kuzma. And Beal is struggling. Beal is just it's not falling for him. He has an efficiency field goal under 40%, but I just, even if he heats up, I don't see Montrezl Harrell, like, he's been at this level before, but he'll cool down a bit. And this team is gonna, they're just gonna run into issues all around offensively, and their offense will be nice, but defensively especially, I think they're definitely gonna run into some issues moving forward. And I don't see this team sustaining production, although this one is a lot closer than I think it looks like initially. Moving on to our next team, we have the Golden State Warriors, who are currently 5-1. And Max, do you have the Golden State Warriors as a trick or a treat?
I have the Golden State Warriors as a treat. Although the teams that they have beat this season, like the Thunder, the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, the Kings, who are a poverty franchise, and the Lakers, who are still figuring things out, those are the teams that they've beat. Although they're not the best, they've beat some of them by a considerable margin. And when just watching them, they're just clicking on all cylinders. Steph Curry's playing at a very high level. A lot of the role players like Damian Lee and Jordan Poole, especially Jordan Poole, are playing at very high levels. And I'm just really high on a lot of their role players. And I think they're going to sustain their level of play, which allows the Golden State Warriors to also sustain their level of play.
I agree. I do also have the Golden State Warriors as a treat. I love a lot of the players on Golden State. Andrew Wiggins, Damian Lee, who's playing out of his mind. I love me some Damian Lee. Jordan Poole, who actually, he's playing okay. I think he'll heat up. His efficiency has been kind of low, but he's still getting some points. Otto Porter, who they picked up, I think is a nice addition for sure. Bielitsa is also a nice addition. He's struggling a little bit out the gate, but he'll start picking up. JTA, he'll also start picking up. There's guys there that I think will start continuing to get better. There's also the rookies who, have they been injured? They just haven't played. Kuminga's played a full one game. I don't know if it's because of playing time or injuries. Actually, I'm not 100% sure on their situation, but I have them as a treat because they beat the Clippers, who are still a good team. Like, let's not get, they're not awful. I think they're still probably a playoff team. I have to look at it, but I think so. The Lakers are a good team. They're 3-3. They're still a good team. Their only loss was to the Grizzlies, and it wasn't by a tremendous amount. And Steph is actually shooting at low efficiency by his standards. I think he's on 42-39, which is not, that's not normal Steph Curry. He'll heat that up a bit. Damian Lee, who I mentioned earlier, 14 on 46-46 is awesome. And Wiggins is playing really nicely. With that this new improved Wiggins, who's efficient and playing great defense, I love this Wiggins, and I think for sure when Klay eventually comes back, they might struggle for a bit in the season, but by the end of it, I think we can look at them and say they'll be a treat for sure. Looking at our next team, one that's not necessarily as successful as the other so far, but still the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're 3-2. Are the Minnesota Timberwolves, Max, a trick or a treat?
I ain't gonna lie to you, until the T-Wolves make the playoffs and actually perform decently, I'm not going to be very high in them. I have zero faith in them. I think they're a trick. They beat the Bucks. I don't know if Giannis was playing that game, but regardless, that's just one good team that they've beat. They've beat the Pels and the Rockets, who are like the worst teams in the league, so they're not that good. They lost to the Pelicans and the Nuggets. Well, they lost to the Pels, which is already a statement in and of itself. And yeah, I think a lot of the Timberwolves players are just playing really well. Cat, I think, will be able to sustain his play. D'Lo is playing way better than I expected him to be. I think he'll cool down a little bit. And yeah, they just haven't played the best competition. And to be honest, I just think the Timberwolves are a poverty franchise, and I won't have any faith in them until they actually make the playoffs.
Usually, almost all situations, I'd agree with the T-Wolves. But this one, I'm right on the fence. And for the sake of that, I'm going to argue that they're a treat. Yeah, I was very close to saying they're a trick, but I'm going to argue they're a treat, and here's why. The Timberwolves are 3-2. They beat the Bucks. Pels and Rockets, not that nice. They did lose the Pels. I can totally see why one would pick this team as a trick. And initially, that was my gut. But Cat is playing well, and I think he'll sustain this. Beverly is playing really nicely. The defense, and plus, he's shooting efficient splits, which he may cool down from. But D'Lo, Ant, and Malik Beasley are all shooting under 40% from the field. None of those are going to continue to shoot 40%, under 40% from the field. I think they'll all heat up. I think this team is actually, for once, maybe, dare I say, somewhat competitive, a team you might not just love to face on every night. I think this team, in terms of being 3-2 right now, I would say, based on where they are, I think it's a treat. I don't see them like absolutely falling off a cliff. I think some of these players are going to really heat up. I think Ant's going to play much nicer. I think D'Lo could actually get farther than what he's doing. And right now, he's not playing where I think he'll be. And I have this team as a treat, just barely. It's very close, but I'm going to take this team as a treat. Let's move on to the players section. So we're going to look at players, whether their production is a trick or a treat. We're not saying the player will continue this exact line of play. Obviously, there's hot and cold streaks, but with that being said, we're starting with Ja Morant. Is Ja Morant a trick or a treat?
I have Ja Morant as a treat. I think Ja this year will be close to MVP candidacy. Ja has been playing absolutely unreal. His finishes are insane. And yeah, I think it's very common to have a sophomore slump. I think last year, although he played great in the play-in game and in the playoffs, like, his regular season wasn't that good. I think this will be the year where he really flourishes in his third year. And I actually have a hot take on Ja. I think he'll actually make the All-NBA third team.
Ooh, that is a take that I'm not necessarily behind, because I have Ja as a trick. I've had Ja as a trick. He played a really nice playoffs last year, don't get me wrong. But until then, last year, he just was not as good as everyone was making him out to be. He straight up was probably one of the most overrated players in basketball last year. It's not that I'm not high on Ja Morant. He's just not a 29-5-8 guy right now. He's shooting 52-39. That's the biggest number of interest, is that 39% from three on a full six attempts per game. If he keeps that up, then he'll prove me wrong for sure. The team is still only 3-3, even with him playing this nicely. And although he did drop 40 against the Lakers, and that was a really nice game, he also had an awful game against Portland, and they got absolutely blown out. They definitely need him to be awesome if the Grizzlies are going to be good, especially since they traded JV, who is playing absolutely fantastic this year. That's a player that definitely we could have talked about. I think he's a treat for sure. But Ja Morant, I don't see him sustaining this. I don't see him being anywhere near 29 points per game by the end of the season, and for that reason, I have him as a trick.
Yeah, I don't think he'll sustain 29-5-8, and especially the 39% from three. I think he'll average something more along the lines of 27-5-7. I think he can sustain like 50% from the field, because his finishing around the rim is absolutely ridiculous. He's leading the league in points per game in the paint already this season. I think he'll slow down to maybe 35% from three, and even that enough is to make Ja Morant a treat and really good player this year, I think.
I think if Ja Morant averages more than 27 or 26, I would be surprised. And then that would put him in the treat category, but I don't think he's going to. And for that reason, I'm going to stick with my take. But we're looking next at Seth Curry, who is playing really nicely. Seth Curry, do you have him as a trick or a treat?
I have Seth Curry as a treat. I've always really loved Seth Curry, especially after that series against the Clippers when he was on the Mavs. He's just ridiculously efficient. Every time he shoots a jumper, I think it's going in. Like, this season, he's averaging 15 on 61 through 63 splits. I don't think he'll sustain that, because that would be absolutely ridiculous. But I still think he'll be insanely efficient somewhere along the lines of like 50-45 splits. And yeah, I think Seth Curry is just a really good role player who just can shoot the lights out.
I also have Seth Curry as a treat. It is worth noting that last season, he averaged 17 points per game on 60-60 splits in the 8 games pre-COVID, and then he kind of fell off because that was so unfortunate. He was playing so awesome for my fantasy team, and I was loving every minute of it. And this is through 6 games with his team being a 4-2. I think he's a huge part of this team. I think that the team's success really does rely on Seth Curry in a way. I think Seth Curry and Toby, keeping up where they've been right now, is the almost the biggest part to their success, and Beadle and Embiid. And no one knows Ben Simmons' situation, but if those two can play well, I think this team definitely can be great. Seth Curry, let's not forget the guy is a career 45% three-point shooter. To think that this is anything other than a treat, I mean, yes, the efficiency will not be there, but I think the 15 points is going to be there. I think he's going to break his career high in points for sure. I think he'll sustain that, especially with Ben Simmons out. He's going to have all the touches he wants. And he's still not, he's taking less shots this year than he did last year, and the points per game is still up. So for sure, I'm gonna go with treat for Seth Curry. We're moving on next to Scotty Barnes, the rookie for the Raps. Scotty Barnes, is he a trick or a treat?
I love Scotty Barnes. I definitely have him as a treat. Scotty Barnes is just, when you watch him play, he just looks like he's been playing for a really long time in the NBA. He knows what he's doing. He's scoring at a very high clip already in his rookie season. And it's not like he does a lot of flashy things. He just has his fundamentals down. He knows how to get to the basket. And I think he can sustain that pretty easily. Scotty Barnes was not the pick that a lot of people thought the Raptors were going to take, but I think it was actually a great pick, and he's going to be a treat this year.
Scotty Barnes was an awesome pick and definitely a treat. I'm going to agree with you. Scotty Barnes is averaging 18-9. Let's be real. He has been the best player on the Raptors, and it hasn't really been that close. The 55% from the field is awesome. The three-point percentage is not there, but when you watch him play, he is so impactful to this team. His steals are low, but it always feels like he's putting in an impact on the defensive end. If there's one team I've watched a lot this year, it's the Raptors. This is one I really feel qualified to talk about. It's also worth noting that he has the highest field goal percentage of all rookies, of all rookies in the league, with minimum 20 points scored this season, and he has the highest points per game of all rookies in the league. And this guy was not even supposed to be a scorer. He has scored 20 points per game more times this season than he did with FSU all of last season. That's nuts. This guy is putting in an impact everywhere. His mid-range shot is just beautiful. That's something that you can't really see from the stats, but when you watch, man, that mid-range shot is just awesome. He's getting out and running. He's making the right plays. I love Scotty Barnes this season, and for 100%, I think he's going to be a treat, and he's going to be right there for Rookie of the Year with Evan Mobley for sure. So let's move on to a player who's not on the younger side, Kemba Walker on the Knicks this year. Is Kemba Walker a trick or a treat?
This is going to be my first trick as a player. I think Kemba's still a relatively okay player, but the thing with Kemba, like, if you watch him in the past few years in Boston, he'd pop off for a couple of games and people would be like, ah, Kemba, he's back. And then his knees would hurt and he'd play really bad and he had to sit out games. So I think even though Kemba's averaging like 15 on really good averages, I think that he'll slow down eventually, because as the season goes on, his wear and tear will hit him, his knees will start hurting, and he'll just fall off because his knees will disable him from playing.
I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to have Kemba Walker as a treat. Kemba Walker is playing really nicely. The efficiency will not be there at the end of the season, but the points per game could definitely be there. In this reduced role, he's shooting less, but he's scoring in such a more efficient way. Also notable, he's on a two-year $18 million contract, and he's going to way exceed that. Sure, this is the lowest points of every season in his career so far outside of his rookie year, but it doesn't matter because it's the highest efficiency so far of any season. Obviously, we're only 6 games in, but I think that they're gonna utilize him correctly. They're not gonna put as much stress on him and his knees as the Celtics did, and I have him as a treat this year. We'll move on to our last player of the list, and that is Tyler Hero. Is Tyler Hero a trick or a treat?
I have Tyler Hero as a treat. So last year, a lot of people were making fun of him. In his rookie season, he popped off,
And he made that sneer, obviously, in the finals. And ever since then, people were making fun of him for being really bad. He couldn't really shoot well. His efficiency was way down last season. But I think that a lot of people forget that sophomore slumps happen all the time. This year, Tyler Hero, I think he just looks really comfortable with the Heat. The Heat are out and running. And as a young player, he's very capable of keeping up with that. Yeah, I think Tyler Hero will be great this season, and he'll be a treat.
I agree. I have Tyler here as a treat as well. 22-7-5 may not be sustainable, but the real number I love there is the 5 assists. He's getting there as a playmaker, and that's awesome to see. The 46-40 is the best splits he's shot in his career, and I think that's actually sustainable if he keeps playing the way he was. I watched one of the most recent Heat games, and he just looked so good in that game. Him and Bam Adebayo, I believe it was the game against the Hornets, and they just looked so dominant in that game, and it was just awesome to see. He's coming off the bench, I believe, this whole season, but his minutes are up, and I think that's a role that he's going to be really nice in. Also worth noting, he scored 30 points per game plus twice last season in his 54 games, but he's already dropped 30 plus this season, and that's awesome to see. I really like Tyler Hero on this team. This team is 5-1, despite the fact that Kyle Lowry, I don't believe, is where he needs to be. He's just playing kind of awful, honestly. I don't think it matters. So
I think I'm gonna have to disagree with you on the Kyle Lowry thing, even though that's not the point of today's episode. Kyle Lowry is just the engine of the Heat. He gets them out and running, and I think that's just a really big deal. He's unlocking a lot of people. Even though his shooting's not there, his defense is still there. It's increases the Heat switchability, and I think it just gets them out and running on offense all the time, and that just helps them score and transition really easily. So even though he's not shooting well, I still think Kyle Lowry is very important to the Heat. But that's beyond the
point. Kyle Lowry is very important to the Heat. I'm just saying that he's playing badly, and it hasn't mattered. They're 5-1. Like his assists are still there for sure, but his efficiency hasn't been there, and it hasn't mattered at this point. It will matter if they want to get somewhere in the playoffs, and that could take touches away from Tyler Hero, but I still see him keeping up this efficiency on this new role, and I really like him in that role. But that'll do it for today's episode. This was a little bit of an interesting one, looking at some players so far early in the season, because obviously production drops off. You never know what a team's going to be like 6 games in the season by coming by the end of the season, or 7 games for some teams, 5, whatever. So make sure to hit up Dishy Heat, Instagram at @dishing_heat for all the latest news and our drops. And we had polls recently based off our last 75 episode. If you haven't hit up that episode, that was an awesome one with Cummins. Make sure to hit that one up. And that'll do it for us today. So I hope you have a great Halloween, and we'll see you next week.